every time when we read the scripture, if we just read one Bible verses, we may not fully understand the will of the Lord. So I try to explain what does it really mean. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 29, by faith, the people is the people of God. The people of God passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But the Egyptians tried to do so. They were drowned. In the second part of this verse, it's missing out the word faith. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you open our mind so that we understand the wonderful thing that is written in your law and help us to understand your will. Not only that, we want to do your will. For the Bible clearly stated that no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he or she does the will of the Lord. And I pray that you help me to explain your word clearly and help your children to understand it and help us by faith we do it. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible not only have Hebrew chapter 11 verse 29. The author, when he was moved by the Holy Spirit, he writes, by faith the people of God passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. Passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. That means they safely passed through the Red Sea by faith. Whereas the Egyptian tried to do so. He didn't do it by faith, and they were drowned. In other words, whatever we do, if we don't do it by faith, we will suffer loss. But if we do it by faith, we will gain our life, and we will gain the protection. Now, as I said before, in this incident, when they go through the Red Sea, and I want to go back to the Exodus, look back in that incident, how did the people of God respond to the suffering, and I want to see whether they truly do it by faith. Would you please turn to Exodus? Exodus chapter 13. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said, if the people of God face war, they might change their mind and return to Egypt. In other words, God knows the heart, the mind of his people. Verse 18. So God led the people around by the desert road, across the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt armed for battle. In other words, they don't leave the place with empty-handed. They arm for battle. In other words, if there's a battlefield, if they have to fight the fight, they should be able to fight the fight. Verse 19. Moses took the bone of Joseph with him because Joseph had made the sons of Israel swear an oath. He had said, God will surely come to your aid. And then you must carry my bones up with you from this place. From this bone, we know that God going to help the Israelites to go through the Red Sea. But how many people remember this word? Verse 20. After leaving Succoth, they encamped at Etham on the edge of the desert. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in the pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. In other words, there are pillar of cloud and pillar of fire, not only at night, also by daytime. There is God leading them in front of his people. Chapter 14. Now, I go back. Three things. First thing, the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, let God's people go. But God led them in a different way. Not by the Philistine country, that's a shortcut, but by the desert. That's God's way of leading us. Secondly, there's a sign for the Joseph bone that proves that God is faithful. Third, there's a pillar of fire and pillar of cloud. Four, they are armed for battle. They can fight the fight if they want to. But the Lord knows their heart, their mind. They are weak, okay? Because they have no faith. Verse 14. Then the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp near Pi Hahiroth between the Medoth and the sea. This is God's way of leading. Why? There's a reason for that. They are to encamp by the sea, directly opposite to Baal Zephon. Pharaoh will think, because God not only know in verse 17 to 18, God not only know the mind and the heart of the people of God, God also know the mind of Pharaoh and the Egyptian. God know everything. I want you to write that down. Psalm 139. That's what David said. Pharaoh will think the Israelites are wandering around the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them, but I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army. And the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. So the Israelites did this. When the king of Egypt was told that the people has fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their mind about them and said, what have we done? We have let the Israelites go and have lost their services. So he has this chariot make ready and took his army with him. He took 600 of the best chariot, along with all the other chariot of Egypt, with officer over all of them. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites, who were marching out boldly. The Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses and chariot, horsemen and troops, pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they came by the sea, as directed by the Lord. As Pharaoh approached the Israelites, look up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. When they see the battle is coming, they were terrified and cried out to the Lord. Hear what they say in verse 11 to verse 12. And I want you to tell me, when they say this kind of thing, are they saying it by faith or are they saying without faith? They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no grave in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt?" I want to stop here. Who bringing them out of Egypt? Is it Moses or God? Hello? Is it Moses or God? It's God. And why he blaming Moses? Verse 12. "Did we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptian'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptian than to die in the desert." I want to stop here in verse 12. When he makes this proclamation, is he making it by faith or faithless? Did they remember Genesis chapter 15? God said to Abraham, at that time his name called Abram, "Your descendant will be in bondage in a country not their own. For how long? 4 generations and 400 years. Now it's already, is it past 400 years already or not past? Eh? Hello? It's 130 years already. The Lord supposed to deliver them in 390 years. They say no to Moses. You say no, then you suffer 40 more years. Brother and sister, I don't think they do it by faith. They are faithless people. They claim themselves to be the descendant of Abraham, descendant of Isaac, descendant of Jacob, but they are not like father, like son. They have no faith like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Why? They don't have the word of God within their mind. I want you to write that down right beside verse 11 and verse 12. You write down Proverbs. I would like you to write that down, Proverbs chapter 17, 27 and 28, right beside 11 to 12 of chapter 14, Exodus. Write down Proverbs chapter 17, verse 27 and 28. "A man of knowledge use word with restraint." These kind of people of God use word without restraint. "And a man of understanding is even tempered," and they become angry right away at the Moses. Verse 28, "Even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent." Even a fool is thought wise, is thought discerning if he holds his tongue. You know what? If the Israelites did not say that, then I say they crossed the Red Sea by faith. But they say that. When they say things like that, what's the result? You write down, right beside 27 to 28, you write down the result. The result is 18, verse 6. "A fool's lips bring him strife, and his mouth invite a beating." Verse 7, "A fool's mouth is his undoing, and his lips are a snare to his own soul." Now I say to myself, is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 29, is it a true statement? The people of God crossed the Red Sea as a dry land by faith? Is it true, this statement? Is it all of them
have faith in God? I want to take a look at another preacher. What the other preacher is saying about that. Would you please turn to Psalm 106? Psalm 106, verse 6. The psalmist say, O God, we have sinned, even as our father did. We have done wrong and acted wickedly. When our father were in Egypt, they gave no thought to your miracle. You know what? When God performed miracle, the 10 plagues, not only the Egyptians see that, the people of God see that too. Right? The psalmist say, when our father were in Egypt, they gave no thought to your miracle. Not only that, they did not remember your many kindnesses. They rebelled by the Red Sea. They rebelled by the sea, the Red Sea. Did they rebel by saying verse 11 to verse 12? Do they rebel God? I think so. But later on, they repent. They turn around. If they rebel God, then how come God still saved them? The reason is in verse 8. Yet, the Lord God Almighty saved the people of God for His name's sake. Would you please write that down? For His name's sake. Right beside His name, you write down Revelation chapter 19, verse 13. For His name's sake, that means for His word's sake. The name of our Lord Jesus Christ is the Word of God. For the sake of His promises. Because the Bible clearly stated that in Psalm 145, verse 13, the Lord is faithful to all His promises. The Lord promised to Abram that in 400 years, after four generations, your people will leave that country. For His name's sake, that means for His word's sake, that means for His faithfulness' sake. You know what? If God did not deliver then, I'm going to tear off the Genesis chapter 15. Isn't it you promised us that in the fourth generation, after 400 years, you're going to deliver your people? So I found out the verse 8 is very, very precious. Yet the Lord saved His people for His name's sake, for His faithfulness' sake, for His word's sake, for His promises' sake, to make His mighty power known. He rebuilt the Red Sea and it dried up. He led them through the death as through a desert. And He saved them from the hand of the foe. From the hand of the enemy, He redeemed them. Egyptians die in the Red Sea. But all His people are rescued. But you know what? Brother and sister, you just come to the church and listen to the sermon you think is good enough for you. I tell you it's not good enough. You have to study it yourself. Otherwise, you follow their footsteps, you end up to suffer the same pain. You're going to say things that destroy your own life. Don't follow the foolish people. Say things without restraint. Don't say it. You remain silent. That's the best bet. Just like Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still. Don't say any stupid thing. And know that the Lord is God. You don't know the Lord is God? You keep on saying the foolish thing? I tell you the end result. Go back to Psalm 106. Take a look at the end result. Psalm 106, verse 26 and 27. Before I read 26 and 27, I read 24 first. Then they despised the pleasant land. They did not believe in God's promises. They grumbled in their tent and did not obey the Lord. Brother and sister, they grumbled, they rebelled by the Red Sea. Now they're in the dry land, now they're in wilderness, now they're in the desert. They keep on complaining. They say, it worked. If I complain, I still get delivered, right? They keep on complaining for the next 40 years. And then the Lord swore to them. Verse 26. Verse 25, they grumble in their tent. At first they grumble, they complain by the Red Sea. Now they grumble in their tent because I grumble, I'm still okay. The Lord is good. I can do whatever I like. And they did not obey the Lord. So he swore to them with uplifted hand that he would make them fall in the desert. That means 600,000 people cannot enter into the pleasant land, was as described in verse 24. Because they despise the pleasant land, the land flowing with milk and honey, they despise it. That's why they fall in the desert. They cannot enter into the promised land. Verse 27. God make their descendants fall among the nations and scatter them throughout the land. You and I know that. Now more Israelites in New York State, in Connecticut, in New Jersey, in Pennsylvania, in that four state, more in this four state than in the promised land now, right now. In verse 27, now the Lord scatter them throughout the whole world. Even in Canada, we see Israelites. We read the Bible. We have to understand what we can do, what we cannot do. We have to know He is an awesome God. We need to respect Him. Don't complain. Remain silent. See how the Lord deliver you. And keep on praying instead of complaining. Well, in here, I didn't see that he complained to God. He just complained to Moses. Brother and sister, I want you to write that down right beside complain Moses in verse 11. Moses is the prophet. You write down Amos chapter 3 verse 7. The sovereign Lord will do nothing without revealing his plan to his servant, the prophet. In other words, before the Lord do anything, the Lord will speak to his servant so that his servant speak to God's people. Because they complain. They don't just complain in Egypt. They complain by the Red Sea. They complain in their tent, in the wilderness. They complain throughout the 40 years of their life. I want you to go back to take a look at that. What's the end result? Not only in Psalm 106, verse 26, 27. Because I never interpret the Bible using one Bible verse. I want to make sure that I have two testimonies. And so that I know my interpretation is correct. Take a look at Psalm 95. Psalm 95, verse 7, the latter part of verse 7. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as you did at Meribah, as you did that day at Massa in the desert. These kind of people, they follow the footsteps of King of Egypt, Pharaoh. They hardened their heart, just like Pharaoh hardened their heart. They complain all the time. Where your father tested and tried me, though they have seen what I did. They seen the 10 plagues, but they don't understand what does it really mean. And then for 40 years, because the Lord is very patient and kind to us, if he sins against God just for 1 year, he will let you go. I guarantee you. Because he's slow in anger and rich in love. But if you sin against him continuously for 40 years and do not grow, I want you to remember verse 10. For 40 years, the Lord was angry with that generation. And then the Lord said, they are a people whose heart go astray, and they have not known my way. They don't know my word. Do they know my miracle? And do they know my word, my way? So I declare an oath. I declare an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. They can never enter the promised land, the pleasant land. If Psalm 95 say that, God swear that they cannot enter. And now, in Psalm 106, verse 26, the Lord swore to them with uplifted hand that he would make them fall in the desert. Make them fall in the desert. I want you to write down the New Testament interpretation through the faithful servant of God, Paul. I want you to write that down. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 to 13. For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brother, that our forefathers were all under the cloud and that they all passed through the sea, the Red Sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And they all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that the rock was Christ Jesus. Nevertheless, I want you to circle the word nevertheless. Although God done so much kindness to them, God was not pleased with most of them. You write down 600,000 people. Young men, they are strong. They can fight the fight, but they refuse to fight the fight. They complain to God's servant, and their body was scattered over the desert. Their body was scattered over the desert. That means they cannot enter into the pleasant land, the promised land. I want you to write that down. Psalm 106, 26 to 27. I want you to write down Psalm 95. When you complain and then you get your way, doesn't mean that you can keep on doing it. When you complain and you can get your way, that means God is faithful to his promises, and he delivers you. It's not because you have faith, because his kindness. Now, I look at it, how God deals with his own people. I want to look at it, how God deals with Egyptians, and that would be fair. Then I can conclude, the God I believe is not only the God of Israel, the God I believe is also the God of Egypt. Is that fair? And I want to see whether God deal with it the same way. Now go back. Exodus chapter 4. We have to know the reason why God is so harsh superficially on the people of Egypt. Chapter 4, verse 21. The Lord said to Moses, when you return to Egypt from your from your father-in-law house, return to Egypt, see that you perform before Pharaoh all the wonder I have given you the power to do. But I will harden his heart so that he will not let the people go. Then say to Pharaoh, this is what the Lord says. Israel is my firstborn son. And I tell you, let my son go so he may worship me. But you refuse to let him go, so I will kill your firstborn son. Stop here. From Exodus chapter 1 all the way to chapter 3, the Egyptians did a lot of hard things, even killed the boy of the Israelites. It looks like the Lord didn't do anything. And I'm just thinking, why is it like that? Why would God allow this hardship through the Egyptians to the people of God? You know why? Listen to me carefully. I want you to write that down in Genesis, in Exodus chapter 4. The reason why God allowed discomfort, pain, and suffering to the people of God, because the people of God are sleeping. They don't know. They thought, oh, didn't I tell you, leave us alone? It's better to live in Egypt, better to serve Egyptians than to die by the Red Sea. Brother and sister, isn't it God saying you only stay there for how long? Only 400 years. They don't know God's word, these kind of people. They say things against God, they don't even know that. I want to come back and say about in our generation. Don't you know what? It's amazing, you know, Ether. You know, when Ether leading this worship in the morning, she's so filled with the Holy Spirit. She chose a song. This world is not my land. Heaven is my land. The Lord told us also too. The Lord told Abraham, hey, that country not your own, that Egypt, is not the land of your descendants. But when they become so rich, they don't want to leave, man. So they allow Egyptians to give them hardship. Give them think about why I suffer so much. Right? Is there something wrong? Want them to think, they don't think. Brother and sister, I tell you one thing, you listen to me carefully. Japanese follow the footsteps of Europe, have negative bond rate. In other words, if you invest over there, they take your interest. Japanese doing that. And Canadian governor, they say, we consider to do the same thing. I guarantee you, we're going to have 7 good years because the money is so cheap. The money is flooded into the market. Everybody become rich. They buy houses, they buy this and buy that. And lo and behold, the 7 years of tribulation going to kick in. When they kick in, your one day wages can only feed you for 3 meals. The Lord gonna swing the whole thing, swing the leader of the world to do things unreasonable. I studied finance when I was an engineering student. I take it as elective. I have never heard 1985 21% interest rate. It's crazy. And now it's 3%. And the 3% is not bad enough. You say, I'm going to drop it so that everybody invests, jump up the price. And then later on, after 7 good years, just like in Joseph's time, you get a 7-year famine. You go for that. You don't listen to God's servant. You're going to suffer pain. You're going to love this world. You're going to be in deep trouble. Don't do that. Read God's word. There's no new thing. In Joseph's time, in Egypt, they have 7 good years, and then bam, 7 years of famine. If I owe you $100,000, I cannot afford to pay, then will you loan me another $200,000 without interest? By doing so, you think I can pay you? You're crazy. That's exactly what the leader is doing. They paved the road for the Antichrist to come. The Antichrist can say, now I'm going to show you how to do it. Brother and sister, wake up. Don't sleep anymore. Those people, the Israelites sleep when they are so rich. So the Lord inflict pain and suffering, and so that they think, why we suffer? You know? Oh, now I know. Because the Lord say, this is not our land, not my country. And He has a pleasant land for me. And yet they despise the pleasant land. And God say, this world is not the world for you. I give you a better world. See, I don't need that. I don't see that. No, I don't buy that. You are the first one to die if you say things like that. That's 600,000 people, they die in the wilderness without entering into the promised land. And then those, their descendants, their children, they enter into it, their wife enter into it, or the woman enter into it. You know what? They don't study God's word either. What happened? Now they scatter over the whole world. Just like Psalm 106, verse 26 and 27. God is faithful to all His word, His all His promises. Psalm 145, verse 13. In the Chinese, you don't see that. The latter part is 13. The English, you see that. The Lord is faithful to all His promises. Whatever He promised you, He's going to do it. He's going to do it. And also, the Lord is loving. Trust all He has made. Now I want to put the emphasis. If God is loving, trust Egyptian. You know what? If God is not loving, trust Egyptian, He won't say that in Exodus chapter 4, let my people go, my people in my sight are firstborn child. You don't let my firstborn child go, I will make sure your firstborn will die. Did God warn them ahead of time? Before He strike? You know what? He warned him ahead of time. He didn't strike in the first strike. The first strike is what? He strike the water to turn the water to become blood. It gives them just inconvenient. He didn't die. Right? He just drained the bloody water. That's all. God allowed 10 plagues to go through Egypt. Not only for Egypt to know God is powerful, that's why I say last week, Psalm 62 verse 11, one thing God has spoken, surely He will reward, He will judge according to what we have done, according to our deed. Two things have I heard. Number one, that you, O God, are strong. Secondly, you, O Lord, are loving. When He say He do it, He will do it. Not in your time, in His time. You don't know at what time, unless He tell you. Even He tell you, 400 years, He can deliver you 290 years, but you're not prepared. Only one people prepare. Moses is prepared. The rest of the people, they don't prepare. Who make you my enemy? I mean, who make you to be my ruler? Who make you to be my leader? Why should I listen to you? I don't buy that. I tell you one thing. When you hear God's word, you say you don't buy, you write down Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. The reason why you rebel against God's word, because the evil spirit is in your mind. That's not what I said, that's what Paul said. Paul said that every word that I'm writing is God's word. Go back. When you hear God's word, you say amen. You believe in it. You remain silent. I tell you, the reason why you have obedient heart, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, because the Word of God work in your life. The Holy Spirit moves you. Just like 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. The reason why you can say, God, Jesus, you are my Lord, because the Holy Spirit moves you. The reason why you disobey, because the evil spirit moves you. Either the Holy Spirit moves you or the evil spirit moves you, you make a decision who is moving you. The evil spirit moves you is to destroy your life. The Holy Spirit moves you is to build up your life. And so that makes sure that you get blessing. The Lord did not strike down the firstborn of the Egyptian as what he has said through Moses to Pharaoh. Let my people go, God tell you, so that he may worship me. But you refuse to let him go, so I will kill your firstborn son. But did God kill the firstborn son right away? No. Come on. No. He waited for a long time. Let's take a look. The first plague. In Genesis chapter 7, verse 16, what did he say? Then say to Pharaoh, the Lord, the God of Hebrew, has sent me to say to you, let my people go so that they may worship me in the desert. But until now, you have not listened. So, Moses turned the Nile, because he's using his staff to strike the Nile River, turned the Nile River into blood. And then Moses' staff turned the Nile River into blood. And then Aaron's staff turned all the other places to blood. All other river, all other pond, all other canal into blood. Did he turn? No, he didn't turn. Did God struck down the firstborn? No, God is very kind. God is very patient. You know what? When God say things, he won't do it right away, because he allow people to give them time to turn around. Why? Because God did not want the wicked people to die. I want you to write that down. Ezekiel 18:23. Ezekiel 18:32. Turn to 23. Ezekiel. Do I take any pleasure in the death of the wicked, declared the Lord? Rather, am I not pleased when they turn from their wicked way and leave? Yeah. 32. He said that one more time. Say verse 23 and then 32. For I take no pleasure in the death of anyone, declared the sovereign Lord. Repent and live. Repent takes time. So he gives people to repent. He not only give people of Israel time to repent, 40 years. He gives time for Egyptians to repent, because my God is a faithful God. He's not just the God of Israel, he's the God of Egypt. So that's why I see that. In Psalm 87, later on in the kingdom of God, Egyptian can enter the kingdom of God. God not only saved Israelite, God also saved what? Egyptian. God also saved Babylonian. Would you please turn to Psalm 87? Verse 3, glorious things are said of you, O city of God. What's the glorious thing? Even the Egyptians are saved. I will record Rahab. Rahab means Egyptian. And then Babylon means Babylonian. Among those who acknowledge me. When they suffer pain, they know the Lord is God. I believe in God now. You know, some people, they read the Bible, they don't understand. They say, well, the Old Testament only talk about the Israelite. God only loved Israelite. No, that's not true. God loved all people. Just like John recorded what Jesus said. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. You know what? You know what? If Pharaoh believed in God's word, he won't die in the 11th plague, die by the Red Sea. He's a wicked man, yet the Lord spare him, right? Right? But he thought, wow, the Israelites, they get hemmed in into the desert. You know, they've never gone to the desert anymore. You know what? Moses in the desert for a long time. He know his way. He look after his father-in-law's sheep, right? The Lord prepared that guy already. You should know better. He know the way, man. 40 years, man. When God raised up his servant, it's good enough to do the job. He may not be perfect, but it's good enough to do the job. I found out God is good. The Lord is loving towards all he has made. Not only loving Israelite, but loving the Egyptian. That's why in Psalm 87, their name was written in the Lamb Book of God. Eventually, those people who believe, even in Egypt, like the Egyptian, they can enter heaven if they turn around and repent. Because the Lord takes no pleasure for the death of the wicked. The Lord wants them to repent and turn around. And the second plague is the plague of frogs. And the Lord say, same thing. Chapter 8, verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh and say to him, this is what the Lord say, let my people go, so that they may worship me. Let my people go. Did he? No, he didn't. Verse 8. Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, pray to the Lord and take the frog away for me and my people, and I will let your people go to offer sacrifices to the Lord. But later on, he hardened his heart. So the third plague comes. I want to stop here. You know what? Egypt doesn't need to go through 10 plagues. If there's one plague, you think that this is the finger of God, you think this is from God, you turn around and repent, it's only water turned into blood. And that's it. No more plague. If you keep on suffering in your life, that means you didn't turn around, man. Turn around. I want you to write down right beside 10 plagues. You write down Proverbs chapter 29, verse 1. If a man, after many were built, and he still become a stiff neck, just like King Pharaoh, and become a stiff neck, just like Psalm 95, the Israelite, and the Lord is going to swore an oath to you and saying that you will never enter the promised land. I read the Bible, I know what I'm saying, I'm scared. And just like Proverbs say, a prudent man see calamity, he take refuge. But a fool keep going and suffer for it. That's exactly one plague, second plague, third plague, all these plagues before he send the plague to say, let my people go so that they can worship me. You know what happened later on? Later on, the Pharaoh say, so who gonna go? And Moses say, all the male going to go, all the female going to go, all the children going to go, all the flock and cattle all go, because we're going to offer sacrifices. He say, no, you go. The male go. Woman cannot go. Pharaoh know that the woman cannot go. You're going to come back anyway. You have no wife. Oh, later on say, okay, you go. Your woman go. Your children go. But the sacrifice cannot go. The cattle cannot go. All the money leave behind. You know what? Moses has God's word. He didn't back down. He said, oh, I strike the deal. You know, he let you go, just go. You know, you know what? If Moses is a faithless person, you say, okay, I strike the deal, I go. We all go. We leave there, we leave all the cattle, all the sheep and everything behind. Then you are faithless and you are unfaithful person. Because God said, not only all the sheep, cattle has to go, you have to ask him for what? Silver, gold, and clothing. You don't leave with empty handed. Because God knows that in the wilderness, in that 40 years, you're going to build the tabernacle. You need silver, you need gold. You need to build the church of God. You don't go with empty handed. That's what it means by faith. Moses is the faithful one. He didn't strike the deal. He said, all my people has to go. Young and old. The coffin of Joseph. And your silver and your gold. He's a faithful man. That's why God greatly uses him. But if we don't know God's word, you say, what's straight the deal, man? You know, spare our life. Don't worry. You know what Joseph say? God will come to your aid, will help you, and you will go. Not go with the empty hand. Does that make sense? Because God said that in Genesis chapter 15. 430 years ago, he said that. The Lord is faithful to all his promises. He's going to do it. Does it make sense when you come to the church, just listening to a sermon, it's not good enough. You got to study your own. Don't go to the university auditing. You won't get a degree. Do the assignment. And check the pastor Lam out to see whether what he says is right or wrong. Then you say, now I have faith. Then I do it. You know what? Do you know why? Go back to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 29. The Egyptian crossed the Red Sea. They want to cross the Red Sea and chase after the Israelites. On what purpose? On what purposes? Is to not let the people of God go. Want them to come back and serve us. But God say what? Let my people go so that they can worship me, not worship Egyptian. They don't let people go. Then in the 11th plague, they're going to die. When they die, God is just. What do you mean by just? You remember in Exodus chapter 1 to 3, how many children the Pharaoh killed? Payback now. Payback time. Is God is just? Is God is fair? Is God is good? Is he slow in anger? Rich in love? Right? Our Heavenly Father, you are mighty God. By faith, the people of God passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. Are we good? No, we are not good. We are wicked. We are bad. We complain all the time. And yet, you deliver us, you save us because of your faithfulness. For your name's sake, for your word's sake, for your promise's sake, you did that. Thank you, God. And help us to read the scripture. Don't despise your word. Help us to interpret your Bible verses, not just in one Bible verse. Take a look at what the other preachers say. I mean, preacher means in the 66 book, both the Old Testament and the New Testament, so that we have a deeper understanding of the will of the Lord, and so that we do your will and be saved and be richly rewarded too. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.